So I did ask Eva to draw something for us. And I told her about
the baptism of Jesus.
About the baptism of Jesus. Merci. And I had one day the opportunity of studying about psychoanalysis in children and with the French master Françoise Dolto. And she said that the right-hand side of the picture, the right-hand side of the drawing, when it is a child that draws, is the father's side. This is no coincidence. The light, the sun, is on the right-hand side, and the dove is on the right-hand side, the side of the father. You couldn't do better, Eva. Thank you for this beautiful drawing. Ah, c'est beau. Je pense que maman l'a aidé un petit peu, mais c'est vraiment un beau Jésus. And he's up to his chest in the water. What a lot of water for him. You see, when there's a voice, I should try that again, eh?
Right.
When there is a voice from the sky, we say that the voice was heard. We say that the voice was heard from up above. And, oh, I can walk everywhere. And so, when a voice is heard by some people, in Hebrew it is called a bat kol. Here it is. Bat kol. It is the daughter, literally daughter, of a voice. Not everybody hears it. Only a few chosen ones or a few ones who have a little bit of faith. And in that time, of course, people were waiting for the Messiah. So we have God throughout the Old Testament as well. We have God who was having conversations with Moses. And it transformed Moses so much that his face was full of light, so full of light that people would tell him, I put a veil over your face, we can't stand it, there's too much light in your face. He was actually having conversations with God. That is something. And we have God talking directly to Joshua when Moses died. He said, I will not abandon you. That made a very strong impression in my mind because, of course, you know, I'm fighting with the angel because of Ukraine war. And I figured, did God abandon Ukraine? Did God abandon these people? To us, maybe they become statistics. That many thousand dead people. But as I was praying, I put myself in the spot of, let's say, one old person, an older lady who would have her hand struck with a tie wrap in her back and being shot. You know, I can't deal with such violence. Where is God in this violence? And God says, and of course it's the truth, I know, I will not abandon you. When God speaks, God must speak the truth, for sure. So we have these moments where God speaks to us, but there are also these moments where we hear a voice if we have faith. We have some other writings where people think that it is thunder, but no, it is God talking to mankind. So we have this moment when God blesses Jesus as he is in the Jordan River and he goes for the baptism of John. The baptism of John is the baptism of conversion. If people wanted to get ready to welcome the Messiah, they would go to John and go into the Jordan River and be baptized, which would
be a sign of their own conversion, meaning that they are ready for the Messiah to come and they want to change their lives. We have this moment of transfiguration where Jesus is on the mountain together with Moses and Elijah. And God says to Peter, John, and the other disciple, I think it's Philip, I'm not sure. So God says, "This is my beloved son." And he is on the same level as Moses and Elijah. So we know that this Jesus must be an important person. The other time when God speaks throughout this bat call, it's a phenomenon from nature, is when Jesus is teaching, and there are some Greek people coming up to them, and they say, "We want to see Jesus." And to him, it's not a matter of being met by people. People are being curious, of course. To him, it is a matter of meeting with God himself. And he goes to God, "Father, glorify your name." And God answers, "I have glorified my name and I'll glorify it again." And people think, some people think it is thunder. But some people have understood the words. I told myself, isn't that fantastic that God speaks? God speaks when, did that make sense? God speaks when things are nice. There's a baptism, transfiguration. When Jesus is about to be born, Mary has the angel coming to her. And where is God when things are going wrong? He doesn't speak. We don't hear God. Where was God when Jesus was crucified? God did not intervene. We didn't hear God's voice. God could have said, "Leave him alone." And people would have gone away from Jesus, scared. So it leads me to when I was a little girl. When I was a little girl, and even a teenager, I was told that God was almighty, that God would do everything, that God would take away the pain, that God would take away the suffering, the violence, the illnesses. And like many of you, what I've noticed is that it doesn't happen. And I don't want to give examples of suffering. I think you have plenty yourselves, you know. But where is God when we suffer? So I don't want to look at this. This is called, in exegesis, in theology, we call that apologetic. It's a branch of theology where we try to excuse God for the things going on and try to explain the things that are happening. So I looked at it, but from the outside, and I wondered, you know, people teach us theology and catechesis with their best will. They want to do their best, and they want to teach us the best about God, of course. But I think that this teaching, that God would take away the pain, take away the suffering, remove all violence and illnesses, I think this was probably not the right way of teaching us the strength of God. When difficulties happen, I don't think that God speaks to us all the time. That's my own experience. When there are killings, mass shootings, we don't see God intervene. So it sends me back to, what was I told? What was I taught about God? And obviously, as I'm an adult now, this belief that God was so almighty, that he would intervene in everything, I have to let it go. And with my adult eyes and my adult faith, I understand that when there is hardship,
God just doesn't jump into the situation. It doesn't work that way.
So for homework, you go home and you think for yourself, what were you taught?
What was I taught about God's strength and power when difficulties happen? The second idea about that is in Deuteronomy, God says to Moses, I give you everything. And those are about the same words he told Adam and Eve. I give you everything. So you choose between life and death. And if you want to be happy, choose life. So we're being told by God, God was speaking to Moses, and it's been written afterwards, but he's telling Moses, you've got it all, and you have to choose. But I tell you, choose life, and you will be happy. So God gave us freedom. Freedom to love or hate winter. The freedom to be good or do evil. This freedom that we have is very, very, very wide. So we have a God who will not intervene in the freedom of mankind, who will not intervene in the wrath of the volcano or in the tremblement de terre, earthquake. So where's God? Where's God in my pain? Where's God in my doubt? Well, I came to the conclusion, and that's the apologetic part. God is there all along. Why am I saying that? First of all, he said to Joshua, I will not abandon you. So we'll never be alone. That is true. It's God's word. We'll never be alone. So where is God? Even when Jesus is on the cross and he says, why have you forsaken me? God is there all along. And we can see it the minute something happens. There are people coming up to hell. There are services all around us to help us out. There are people who come to love and comfort and hold on to us. That is God's presence. Etty Illesum, she was a Jewish girl and she died in a concentration camp. She was praying, she was a Christian, she converted herself. And she said to God, obviously, you can't do anything about this. We're talking about the Shoah. Obviously, God, you cannot do anything about this. And it is for us to do something for you. What a new theology. So you see that this changes always. We get to know God a little bit better from one event to the other. And through that knowledge, we grow. And so, whenever we say, God calls us, God allows this to happen. God wants you to. Truth is, we don't know at all. We have no idea. But we think when we see the beauty of nature, the trees that are producing flowers, the sky, the sunshine, the sunrise, the birds that are flying from one continent to the other, when we see the birth of a baby, when we see lovers who want to get married and want to do their lives together, we see that there is happiness and beauty in all of this. So we can figure that God isn't there. Because God said in Deuteronomy, choose life and choose happiness.
So we might think, I think without being wrong, that God is in this beauty, in life, in the beauty of nature. And of course, that if we, just as any other living being, are part of creation, of course we're being called and invited to be part of this beauty. But the decision will always be ours. And now, just to finish, the biggest trap in which we can fall is to let go of our faith in the midst of a difficulty because we don't feel God's presence, we don't hear God's voice, and we don't know if God is there. But soyez rusés, God is there all along. And the temptation when we pray, do not let us fall into temptation, is exactly this. When everything is wrong, when I discover that I am sick, when there is violence and war, and when the medias are filled with this, our temptation is the biggest trap, the temptation to believe that God isn't there. So this is when we have to reconnect through prayer and feed that little mustard seed of faith. And this will grow again. And this will become light. And this could even become a voice of God for us personally. My prayer today is that we can get to know God better, is that we can, with Jesus, go through the waters of the Jordan and become different and new people. As Jesus begins his ministry, he only saw Peter once and he changed his name. Let us be changed by this baptism. Let us be changed by this crossing of the Jordan River. May God be with us all today. Amen.